just praise me right now. Quietly in your heart. Take a few minutes and just praise me. Thank me for my presence. Thank me for my glory. Thank me for answering the heart's cry. It's in my presence. There is fullness of joy. In my presence, there is eternal life. And in my presence, miracles happen. Stay in my presence. Do not vacate this private place with me. Watch me move through the nations. Watch me move with my might and my power. I began a work within your heart this night that I am going to complete. Now just praise me continually. Worship me. In the good times, worship me. In the bad times, hold my hand. Stay intimate with me at all costs. You've been crying out, and I have listened, and I have moved this night, and I have begun a great work, a landslide work that the enemy cannot halt. The grass around about you is green. It's vibrating with my presence. Walk worthy. Walk lightly before the King of Kings. Hold tight to what I have given you. Embrace it to your bosom and never allow the enemy to steal it. Daughters and sons of Zion, you have come into my very presence this night, and you have poured out your hearts to me, and I am pouring myself back into you. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, but not in this house. For you kept going and you surrendered all. You kept holding on when there was no reason to hold on. Your faith kept growing and growing and growing. And now you can tear down any mountain that looms before you. I am your beloved Father. I am smiling down upon you this night. And my angelic angels who are in your midst are rejoicing. Stay intimate. Stay pure in heart. And watch and see what we are about to do. The nation's cry has come to my ears. And this is the hour that I am moving on your behalf. I am tearing down the walls that the enemy has built. And he can no longer stop you from entering into the fullness of this present time. You have given me permission to fall upon you. And in a given second. So be prepared when the weeping begins and you will not be able to control it. And then you watch as miracles begin to occur all around about you. For my presence will rest upon you, and all will know that they stand in the presence of the Almighty God. Much joy. Much joy. Like Paul, much joy in the midst of trials and tribulations. I have given you my joy this night. It'll carry you through the hard times. It'll carry you through the good times. It will carry you through. My joy never ceases. It is ongoing, and it is radiant.
Praise the Lord. The real service is in praise and worship. We can't do any better than what God does. Father God, we thank you. We praise you, God, for moving upon each one of us as you did and continue to do. We praise your name, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for your goodness and faithfulness to us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Children, I am weeping right now, but they are tears of joy. Embrace me to your bosom right now. Just hold me tight. Hold me tight. And let's rejoice together for a few seconds. The windows of heaven are open over you this night. I am pouring heavenly kingdom wisdom down upon you. You have touched the hem of my garment, and all that you ask for, you shall receive. These truly are tears of joy. You opened your heart so wide to me this night, and you allowed me to come and sup and dine with you. All of heaven is rejoicing over each of you this night. Be at peace, be at peace. We are on a journey. We are on a journey of a lifetime, and we will rejoice often together. Oh, I have said many times, touch not my anointed ones, and how the enemy has tried to destroy each one of you here this night, but he could not accomplish that task. And now, there's great rejoicing in heaven over each one of you who stood the course, who took each blow that the enemy sent your way. Yes, every now and then your knees buckled, but you stood back up again, and you determined to march forward. So march forward we shall. We shall march to the songs of Zion, and we shall destroy the enemy on all sides. It's okay to weep for joy. It's okay. When you weep for joy, you crush the enemy's head. He knows he is defeated in each one of your lives this night. He is crawling away defeated. Hold tight to my bosom and never let go. There's a new song written down in heaven, and it is mine, it is mine. Remember I asked you what your story was, and now I want you to hear what your song is, and I want you to continue to sing it all the rest of the days of your lives. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. All mine. Thank you. Can you give me a quiet, reverent sound of rejoicing right now? No screaming. Quiet, reverent sound of rejoicing.
The title of our teaching tonight is A Light in the Darkness. God is our light. Never fails us. He's always with us. We are living in the end times, and with the gross darkness that is increasing upon the land will come God's glory upon his children. There will always be a light in the darkness until darkness itself is thrown into the lake of fire. We have been equipped and given the knowledge of our calling and destiny and taught how to carry our assignments in victory. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 2. Darkness now covers the earth, and the people are in darkness. But the Lord will shine on you, and his glory will appear over you. It is prudent that we walk in love and faith, while at the same time being aware of the signs of the times. We must exercise our spiritual barometer and ask for discernment of the times we are in, so that we are not caught off guard by the enemy's schemes and lies. We are called to be watchmen on the wall, not only regarding our own hearts against the evil that is coming and is even here, but watching over others in our midst as well. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17. Son of man, I am making you a watchman for Israel. I will tell you about bad things that will happen to them, and you must warn Israel. If I say, these evil people will die, then you must warn them. You must tell them to change their lives and stop doing evil. If you don't warn them, they will die because they sinned, but I will also make you responsible for their death, because you did not go to them and save their lives. If you warn them and tell them to change their lives and stop doing evil, but they refuse to listen, they will die because they have sinned. But since you warned them, you will have saved your own life. This is true of anybody that's any kind of a leader. We have an obligation, a responsibility to let others know, hey, you're in sin, and you need to stop. That's going to take you to hell. We have a responsibility in the church body to appropriately do this for the purpose of saving and helping one another. The devil is already defeated, and God's glory will prevail. Yet we must also understand that the Bible clearly states that certain things must happen and come to pass before Jesus' return. There's already evil in the world, and it's going to get worse. But we have God's promise of his glory being upon us. A way has been made for victory in our own personal lives and corporately as the body of Christ. Many great evils will take place, corruptions of the highest levels, blatant lies served to us as we are expected to feed off their platters of deception. The world is highly unstable. Nations are against nations, and wars are taking place with rumors of wars, and large earthquakes are devastating entire geographical regions. The latest earthquake over in Turkey was super devastating. I forget what the death toll was exactly, but it was, last I knew, about 45,000. That's terrible. Some people trapped under that rubble for days, weeks. We need to be praying for them. There is a plan in the works by the enemy to kill or otherwise destroy our youth and to sterilize young adults. This has been going on for a long time, but it's more prevalent now. Everything seems to be getting unpackaged now in a greater magnitude. These vicious assignments branch off into just killing anyone and attempting to thin the herd, to decrease the size of the total population. There are over 8 billion people on the planet, and half of them live in just 7 countries. There is no foreseeable way to sustain this population level with the planet's own resources or our ability to produce. It's not sustainable. And they know this. The enemy knows this. There is a demonic culling that is taking place and has been for many decades. We are slowly being transitioned into what some would call the Orwellian dystopia. However, a more accurate description would be that we are simply moving forward into the biblical end times, where the God of this world will fulfill Scripture before Jesus returns. During this time frame, we as children of God should be rising up in His glory and doing the works He's called us to do, reaching out to the masses about the message of Jesus so that they can be saved. Again, part of our duty as watchmen on the wall, not everyone may listen, but those who will are worth all the sacrifices and suffering we will experience in the journey. There are those who would have their head in the sand, unwilling to confront the darkness that desires to take them out. There's people that just only care about themselves in life, and they are in danger of falling prey, falling victim to these schemes that the enemy is working through people, through the world system, to try to destroy the children of God. We have an obligation to speak the truth and share our wisdom with them as to the enemy's schemes and strategies and how to overcome them through Christ. I want to briefly go over a recent event that highlights and illustrates such a demonic scheme right here in America, the train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio. We're going to watch a short video clip. By short, I mean about 20 minutes. And it's going to discuss in detail what is happening and why it is the way it is. And then we're going to talk about that after the video. Go ahead.
Let's start with the big story, which, of course, what happened in East Palestine, Ohio, being called the worst environmental disaster in American history. Those are the words coming from a number of scientists over the past 24 hours. The federal government, though, and the Biden administration largely ignoring this story.
Yes.
By the way, this is what... So J.D. Vance, of course, is the new senator from Ohio. Both senators are there, but the Biden administration is basically non-existent. A few EPA lackeys are there. But other than that, Biden's not there. Buttigieg is not there.
Norfolk Southern didn't show up to town meetings. They're just, you know, releasing statements. They're only speaking through press releases and saying, well, we have another fund. We have another way for you to get in touch with us to get reimbursed for certain things. We're really helping the victims. But not in person. Nobody is willing to actually go there.
So J.D. Vance is a senator. He's the new senator from Ohio, and he's there, and he's showing you what this water looks like. Should this water look like this? Watch.
Hey, guys, so I'm here at Leslie Run, and there's dead worms and dead fish all throughout this water. So, something I just discovered is that if you scrape the creek bed, it's like chemical is coming out of the ground. Can you come here? And let me just show this to people. I don't know if you're going to see this on camera, but watch this. Just see that chemical pop out of the creek. This is disgusting. And the fact that we have not cleaned up the train crash, the fact that these chemicals are still seeping in the ground is an insult to the people who live in East Palestine. Do not forget these people. We've got to keep applying pressure. That's how we're going to fix this problem. Thank you.
So the New York Times published a piece today basically saying, hey, you know, there are over 1,000 derailments a year. Like, we shouldn't really be paying much. Come on, let's just put this in perspective, okay? Go ahead, David.
Well, I was just going to say, it shocks me that they're still walking around that area with no mask. Like, they have no idea what the long-term effects of the gases that could still be in the air could be, and they're just walking around there without masks. Or, I mean, I don't think masks would help in that situation, but that kind of concerns me that they just seem to not care. That the
air
could still
be bad.
David
wants masks now.
Yeah, no, David's suddenly pro mask.
I think the word you're looking for is respirator.
Respirator.
Yeah,
we've talked to some doctors who've said I wouldn't be in that area without a military grade respirator mask in that situation. You just simply don't know. And we're going to speak to Nick Sordor, who's there in East Palestine, and there's no kids around. Like, the kids are gone. Thankfully, and people have left and don't think that they're ever going to come back.
Yeah, I mean, you worry about taking showers from, you know, any kind of public utility water, especially because your skin is the largest organ in your body. What is it going to absorb into your system? Not just what you drink or what you breathe, but what gets in contact with you. We spoke last week about how many government failures are all sort of rolled into this one major disaster, but I thought we'd recap. First of all, just a reminder that the Biden administration passed legislation in December to not allow rail workers to strike. Remember this? Here's the tweet from President Biden saying, I'm calling on Congress to pass legislation immediately to adopt this tentative agreement, you know, because a rail shutdown would devastate our economy. Without freight rail, many U.S. industries would shut down. He says, I'm a pro-labor president. I'm reluctant to override the ratification procedures and views of those who voted against the agreement. But in this case, where the economic impact of a shutdown would hurt millions, I believe Congress must use its powers to adopt this deal. So this is what he was saying, is that I believe in strikes. He voted against it when he was a senator, but he passed legislation to take this out of their hands. We can't blame Biden for this entirely. This was happening 30 years ago under President Bush in 1991. Congress passed a late night bill. Remember, this is from the New York Times when they had to wake up President Bush at 1 a.m. Here's the article from April of 1991. Where Mr. Bush had to be awakened in the residential headquarters of the White House in order to sign a bill to prevent union workers from striking. The union workers said they wanted to strike because of pay and working conditions, but they also wanted to protest something called precision scheduled railroading, which has been a technique that companies use to focus on longer and heavier trains, which would lead to bigger disasters when they happen. So this is a big question. It's a lingering question. If rail workers had been able to protest this, would this have been so bad? Would this have stopped?
Well, there's a lot of safety questions, right? Because by cutting those hours, you are also reducing the amount of time that you're checking the tracks to see if there are any aberrations or problems on the tracks. That time is now reduced or almost eliminated.
Yes.
So, and that we've heard right from the mouth of railway workers on that specific point.
Yes. Another government failure here is that the rail company responsible for this, Norfolk Southern, was obviously not in cahoots with the Environmental Protection Agency like they claim to be. There was no consensus or full disclosure to residents when they were told that it was safe to go back. I refer you to Tuesday's show for that discussion so we don't repeat ourselves. And the fact that lobbyists removed legislation that would have kept toxic chemicals from going through heavily populated civilian areas before that actually was a rule. Lobbyists had to, they worked hard to pressure many presidencies. They've been at work for many presidencies for the profit, in the pursuit of profit.
And we had a chance to speak with Nick Sordor, who is a video journalist. He's been in East Palestine now for a number of days. He was literally, I think, the first video journalist on the field there, and unbelievable sights and sounds that he saw there, choking, not being able to breathe properly, and just talking to local residents. So we caught up with him today as it started to snow in that area. And by the way, what's in that snow? Can you imagine the precipitation in that area, for crying out loud? So we had a chance to speak with Nick Sordor just a short time ago, and here's what he had to say. Watch. Well, we want to go down to Nick Sordor, who's been in East Palestine, Ohio for a number of days now, one of the first video journalists there on the scene when the major media outlets won't even cover the story. And now it seems like social media is maybe moving the needle in the right direction for people to get answers. Nick has been there for a few days, and he joined us a few days ago. Nick, what has changed in the few days since you've been there talking to the people and seeing maybe the federal response or lack thereof? What have you seen?
So the pressure campaign that we started mounting once I got here on Tuesday has really boosted the hopes and morale of a lot of the residents here. At the time when I had gotten here, no cameras, no media, nothing. There's nobody here. The only journalist here walking around talking to people at the time. I started getting a lot of engagement on social media trying to tell people what was going on the ground, and they got concerned because, you know, what I had seen before this through the media, and kudos to you, you were the first person to pick up on me while I was here. And once I had gotten here, I didn't know what to expect because the media hadn't been covering it for, you know, the 11 days before. They were worried about the balloons or whatever. I got here, and as soon as I got here, I could tell that it was much worse than anything that I had heard. The air quality was terrible. I was choking, my eyes watering. And, you know, a lot of people here were experiencing the same things. And they were having issues with some of them with their lungs. You know, people that have lung problems were having a really tough time with it. Nobody trusted anything the government had told them up until that point. The federal government was like nowhere to be found. But after this pressure campaign, they actually started sending people out here just to, you know, the Biden administration sent out the EPA administrator, and both U.S. senators came yesterday. Why the EPA administrator didn't bother coming out to the worst environmental disaster in recent American history until Twitter blew up and independent journalists started really pushing it is beyond me. And that should tell you a lot about, you know, what the people here are feeling.
What are the people telling you now? We know there was a town hall last night. Are they frustrated? They're being told, sounds like multiple stories, both from the Pete Buttigieg side, from the EPA, from right. The NTSB, from Norfolk Southern. It seems like they can't get straight answers from anybody.
Right. You're absolutely right. Mike Ryan in particular, his story changes every day, seemingly. The other day, or last week especially, when he had declared that it was safe to come back in to the area here. That's exactly what he told people. So people came in, they came back in. A lot of them didn't want to, they were forced to anyway. And then he comes out, I believe 2 days ago, and says that, oh, well, maybe you should be drinking bottled water, which is totally contradictory from going last week and saying that everything was perfectly safe. Then you come out today and he says, oh, well, you know, everything is perfectly fine. You know, tests indicate that there's nothing in the water at all. Okay, you got to make up your mind. What are you going off of? How do you keep going back and forth on that? That is what makes people not trust the government here, and that's why they're scared. There are people here that are taking showers with bottled water.
Jeez,
you know, which is just crazy.
Yeah, they
can't get a straight story.
And I've heard you, in fact, offered the EPA administrator a glass of water, right? You offered him a glass of water because yep. he'd been out kind of walking around all day. And you said, why don't you have some tap water? And what did he say to you?
Yep. He shook his head like this, you know, just sort of like it was definitely a no. So he declined the water. He definitely didn't want to talk to me, we'll say that much.
Well, I know you've been working so hard there, and I know we've got kind of a choppy signal because you're dealing with Wi-Fi and terrible cell coverage in that area, so I really appreciate it. I wanted to see if it's possible, if you're, I know you're right near the creek bed there, if we could just pick up your camera and maybe walk down live here.
Couldn't hear you.
Oh, I was just asking you, maybe if you could grab your camera here before we go and see if we can just walk down to the creek bed. I know where you're seeing some of the chemicals in the water there. Can you show us what you see? We might lose your signal. We're going to try this live here and see what happens here. If you're just able to walk with your camera and see what we can find in that creek that's down there and see if we can see any trouble spots down there, if you're able to do that.
This is exactly where that video that a lot of people are actually about 12.6 million people have seen. So it's right here in this creek, and all I got to do is toss it right in the water. And then you see almost instantly, you know, how, I mean, it oils up. I mean, there's chemicals all over. I mean, you can see the pools of chemicals over here as well. And it might be a little hard to see with the glare, but I'll go over here and it's worse. I mean, that was a small rock, and it pulls all of this chemical, all these chemicals out of here. You've got these barriers, right, that are supposed to be blocking this stuff out. But they're not effective at all. And they've been trying to cover this up now. You know, they didn't want us to know this. They know this. There's no way they don't know this. All it takes is to toss a small rock in the water, and you know, you discover all of these chemicals in it.
Unbelievable. So. Well, Nick, thank you so much for your coverage there. Thank you for what you're doing, bringing awareness to this story, arguably one of the worst disasters in American history. We'll see what the Biden administration does with FEMA, if there's more pressure from Congress on that side. Stay safe there. Thank you so much, and we'll check back with you soon as the story unfolds. Thanks so much, Nick. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Clayton. Appreciate you covering it as well.
Thank you. So thanks to Nick for what he's been doing there. And, you know, he was saying, you know, people are taking showers with bottled water because they're just really concerned, obviously, about that. And we also see here, if you want to, Phil, take this, Rebel News reporting. Rebel News is there also now.
All right. So at this point, there has been no federal or FEMA response. And you can see how it would be much easier if you're the federal government to respond to things that are, you know, you think are sort of out of your control or existential crisis, like, oh, there's a big hurricane. Sure, the president will go. Oh, there's a big earthquake. The president will go, because these are forces outside of our control. But when there are things to answer for, there's no politicians there to answer for it. Go ahead.
Yeah, and so Rebel News reporting that there are these devices scattered throughout East Palestine, these like air quality devices. There's now a class action lawsuit saying that there's long-term health implications with exposure to vinyl chloride, rare forms of liver cancer, other types of liver cancer, brain and lung cancers, lymphoma, and leukemia as well. And according to Zero Hedge, saying that this, in this lawsuit, that they may all, that East Palestine residents may already be undergoing DNA mutations, according to the class action lawsuit. But that's what the class at, you're putting a class, first of all, you're putting a class action lawsuit together. That is a massive undertaking, and the amount of time, attention, and effort it takes to put something like that together, to level those types of charges, though, that's pretty big.
Yes. And they all have to have been harmed in the same way by the same incident.
Right.
And so there's a clear pivot point on what they were harmed from, what kind of negligence could be proved. And again, if the company can prove, like the data we were showing you on Tuesday, I believe, that, look, if we hadn't let it out in this way, the whole town could have blown up. And we would have no plaintiffs at all. They wouldn't be here. Then that's something, right? And if residents can see that, we don't know how this could actually play out in a court of law. There were already 4 class action lawsuits by Tuesday. So now this next one.
Lawyers don't waste any time, do they?
Well, then could you do me a favor really quick, like, Clayton?
Sorry.
Oh, sorry.
You're both gone.
I was just going to say, could you please run the clip of Pete Buttigieg and like what he's said about that, about all this?
We
like,
are
could
going you just to run get the... to that. Yeah.
Oh, there is actually a clip. I was trying to be funny because I didn't think there was one.
Oh no, we're gonna get to the calls for Pete Buttigieg to say words. We actually don't have any. Okay. You're right.
We don't have anything.
We don't have sound from him. We have a discussion
about him.
Him not saying anything. Yeah.
Sorry, Philip.
Good point.
No, that's okay. I was just going to make the comparison. You look at something like a story like the Erin Brockovich story, where it's you know, like with the people having the poison in their water. This is like though that company was trying to be secretive about it. This company literally burnt the chemical in town.
Yeah.
And so it's like they know they have the point source. Everybody knows about it. So you'd think that would like help spirit the class action lawsuit along. But also knowing how the court system works, it still won't.
No.
And it's just, you know.
It'll drag on for a long time.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of blame to go around on this, of course, and there's no federal or FEMA response. Here's what the White House, though, is saying about this. So Jean-Pierre was asked specifically about this. Listen.
I know the EPA administrator was visiting East Palestine today. I was wondering, the Ohio governor was talking about efforts to federal support, said that they still have not gotten an indication from FEMA that they could get support at this point. What are the hurdles there that you guys see on the administration side?
So the governor, as you mentioned today, asked for additional public health testing and assessments. We're deploying teams from HHS and the CDC now. As you all know, these needs are much more expansive than what FEMA can meet. And so FEMA is on the front lines when there is a hurricane or tornado. As you know, you've seen the president visit devastated areas across the country. This situation is very different. And so that doesn't mean FEMA isn't supporting response. They indeed are. This is a multiple agency response that are folks that are involved, as I just mentioned, HHS, CDC, EPA as well. And they are coordinating with the Emergency Operations Center and working closely with the Ohio Emergency Management Agency. Each federal agency has its own unique role here. And we've mobilized an interagency team to get the people of East Palestine, to be more exact, the support that they need. And look, our priority, as I said 2 days ago, is the health and safety of the community. That is indeed our top priority for the moment as we look at what they're dealing with in Ohio.
Okay. FEMA can't meet that need. You know what? FEMA is pretty good. I've seen footage. They can bring water bottles.
Yeah. They can bring water. They can bring temporary housing.
They know how to do that.
Like if your house is totally filled with chemicals, let's listen now as we listen to the residents of East Palestine describe what it's like going back to their house and trying to open up a door and cleaning out. Like if their door, it's freezing, it's winter, right? So you don't have windows open anyway. So how's this stuff in the house? Listen to how these residents are describing going to the hospital, what they're experiencing going back into their houses. Watch.
Are you experiencing any symptoms?
A little lightheaded, and my lips did get all tingly yesterday when we went to clean up the house. Ugh. It smells terrible up around the house, and there is black residue on the pictures, surface stuff.
I hit a cloud of something down in there that it put me in. I went to the hospital. It was worried about me having I've been so stressed out, they put me on an EKG thinking I'm going to have a freaking heart attack. Because of my stress being so high, I want to know what I sucked in.
I just feel like when I'm outside and the wind's blowing, try not to breathe in too heavily. After about 15, 20 minutes, my throat felt like there was gravel in it. I mean, it was just, I had a sore throat since then.
I vomit within 10 minutes of being in that home. The air is still terrible, absolutely terrible. I will not take my children in there because of that. Yeah. Burning of the eyes, trouble breathing. And then I just get nauseous within 10 minutes. You know, my husband popped in to try to get anything, you know, phone charger, things that they say are safe. You cannot get the smell out. It does not come out. My kids' friends said they lost cats. They, you know, their pets have been, you know, sick. And then we have kids' friends who have rashes. And my daughter was one that also had a real bad, looks almost like a sunburn.
EPA is letting us, you know, giving us not giving us any numbers. So they're just saying that the air is clean. We know we've heard that before 9/11. The water was fine in Flint, Michigan, different things. So that is in the back of your head.
They told me they were going to do an air quality test. Never got a call back. Three times, three different agents from that number said they were coming to do an air quality test.
You know, if I could, I would definitely move.
I'm old. I'm not ready to die, but I hope I don't have any after effects is what worries me.
Like, one thing to point out, though, is so likely this gas is more dense than air. And because of that, it can't just float up into the atmosphere and clear itself out. The air will actually hold it at that level, at ground level, which means like this, it's not just going to like, I mean, it will eventually like clear out, but it's going to linger for a long time.
Oh,
yeah. And this is the prop. So when they're saying that this could be one of the worst ecological disasters in American history, they're not being glib. They're not being alarmist. They're saying we don't know the level to. And by the way, Norfolk Southern is also, according to reports, fudging these results. They're in charge of their own testing. That's like putting Pfizer in charge of like, you know, vaccine trials. Oh, wait.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Wonder how that
well,
goes.
And also they have no idea how far out it goes either. Like it was airborne for some time. So how far did that smoke plume go? Like it could be hundreds of miles from there. I mean, I saw reports of 100 miles of fish being dead and stuff.
Well, we're hearing people in our chat now who have family at 20 miles away from East Palestine who have been writing in our chat tonight saying they have friends in Lisbon, Ohio, and other spots that are where their animals have died. Families have been sick as a result of it.
How far do you think your hometown of Reading, Pennsylvania is?
Oh, I mean, there?
Because it's not far from Pittsburgh.
4.5-hour drive from Pittsburgh was where my hometown was. So it's far. But yeah, you don't know where the wind goes. You don't know how it affects the waters. I mean, so anyway, the problem is that these people just don't know. They're not getting straight answers. So on the one hand, there's like, no, don't. It's not safe. And the next thing, they're like, yeah, drink the water. Now they're saying, now don't drink the water. Here's, you know, you should get bottled water. It's like, and you're going to bring your kids back to this to go back to school? It's not like everyone can just pick up and move. Like they've got like bags of money that they can just like, oh, fine, I'll just move to another. I'll just go buy a house over there.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Vedger just sent a super chat saying U.S. government doesn't even have the economic resources to fix the East Palestine incident's aftermath, but they are fully prepared to go into a full out World War III with China and Russia. Let that make sense.
Right. What's Philip trying to say?
Well, I was going to say the thing is they could absolutely know how bad it is. They could find out exactly how far it stretches if they sent people out there to gather the data. So the fact that they're not sending people out there to gather the data, to me, looks like what they're doing is they're waiting for most of it to clear out before they go out and get the numbers so that they can justify the fact that they said it's already safe.
Yeah.
So it's
just
sort of like it's a way of sweeping it under the rug, because if you have the hard data, then people can point to the hard data and that makes it look like they botched the job. So the best way to handle that on their part is just to not show up until everything's mostly cleared out anyway.
So in summation, in the interest of time, I just want to go over this real quick. The CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, updated their toxicity report on vinyl chloride just 2 weeks before the train derailment. The original report that was unchanged for 17 years listed all of the carcinogenic risks and various types of cancers it causes, its present level of toxicity in parts per million, and its risk to human health and effects on children. The recently updated model has removed information about its carcinogenic or cancer-causing effects, types of cancer it causes, as well as its parts per million and milligrams per liter toxicity levels. It's still labeled as a hazardous material and a mutagen, which means it mutates your DNA if you're exposed to it. How wonderful. Vinyl chloride has a toxicity level of 1 part per million. Okay, I didn't know what that meant before putting this together. I've seen it before. I had no idea what it meant. I looked into it. That means if there were 1 million white balloons in this building and only one of them was red, the whole building would be too toxic to dwell in after 8 hours. That's what that means. It has a fatality level of 100 parts per million. That is 0.01%. Or it's like having 10,000 white balloons in the building, and if only one was red, you would be leaving in a body bag. That's what that means. The boiling point of vinyl chloride is 7 degrees Fahrenheit. That's when it goes from a liquid to a gas. So they either have to refrigerate it and keep it below 7 degrees, it's easier to transport in its liquid form because there's less to deal with, you know, the gas keeping it under pressure and that kind of stuff. Mysteriously, however, the recent CDC change states that the new fatal level goes from, what did we say it was, 100 parts per million to 100,000 parts per million. Now, all of a sudden, overnight, it became, you know, that many more times less fatal. Really? Come on. If we could make toxic chemicals not toxic, you know, we would have done that by now, but we can't. And so that's why we have all the safety precautions. Vinyl chloride was banned in 1974 in its usage of consumer products after people working with this substance developed rare and new types of cancers. The controlled burning of this substance, what they did was they tried to say, well, we have to burn this stuff because if we don't, it's going to explode on its own and it will send shrapnel flying for up to a mile. But the problem is by burning this stuff off, you've created new toxic chemicals by burning it. Vinyl chloride, when burned, creates hydrochloric acid and phosgene gas. All right, hydrochloric acid is, it's almost like sulfuric acid. Hydrochloric acid is what your stomach has to digest food. And it's like acid rain. When it goes up in the atmosphere, it mixes with the moisture in the air, it comes down as acid rain. Phosgene gas was banned by the Geneva Convention because it was used in World War I to kill people. All right, so why would you burn something that you know is going to cause a gas that was banned by the Geneva Convention? Some red tape, some kind of thing should have been in place to say, wait a minute, no, you can't do that. Several government agencies that monitor atmospheric air quality, wind direction, potential risks and advisories, and the forecast spread of hazardous airborne materials suspiciously went down during the event. I have an app on my phone called, I think it's Air Now by the EPA, and it has little monitors all throughout different states that shows you the given air quality, whether or not there's fine particles or heavy particles in the air, and that kind of stuff. And when this first happened, all the sensors were red, you know, warning, alert, danger, death. And then after this whole thing, like a day after that, all of a sudden they took the pictures down, they took the sensors down, you can't see. A couple days ago, I tried it, they were all grayed out. Oh, we're doing a service upgrade. Come on. Now it's working fine that they're all green. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. Let's skip ahead to, here's one thing else that I want to mention. 2 days before this happened, they rolled out a program called My ID in East Palestine. Okay, this is basically a free program that takes all your health records, gets them all nice and updated, and then you wear a little bracelet that they can scan to show this is who you are, these are your present existing health conditions, to make it easier and safe, you know, in case something happens to you and you go to the hospital. So we could just quickly scan your bracelet and know everything about you. So they rolled this out and got everybody herded up in line and got all their health records, you know, fresh and updated. Then this happened. So I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I don't look into this stuff, but there's coincidence, and then there's not a coincidence. And it just seems awfully convenient that now they can take the people that were exposed to these toxic chemicals and scan them at their whim to find out what new symptoms and health problems are you developing now that you've been exposed to this. They went to the same town where this happened and did this before it happened. Speaking of before it happened, 4 months ago, they released a movie called White Noise. And the plot of the movie is there is a train carrying toxic chemicals that derails and explodes in Ohio. What? Some of the people in this town were extras in the filming of the movie. And they say, oh my God, it's happening exactly like the filming, the movie. Just go ahead and scroll down. I just want to show you three pictures here. This is a picture of the train 20 plus miles before it derailed. One of those train tankers there is glowing because it's actually on fire already. This train was on fire, caught by a warehouse CCTV camera 20 miles before it derailed. It was already on fire. Why? This is such a dangerous, highly toxic, volatile chemical that's being transported. What safety measures and protocols were not in place to detect that the tanker was on fire? You know, go ahead and scroll down. This is a picture of the smoke plume when they were setting it on fire. Look how it just went up and into the upper atmosphere and just spread out. And remember, this is phosgene gas banned by the Geneva Convention. It's inhumane to kill people with it. Go ahead and scroll down. This is what it looked like from the upper atmosphere. And that's blowing all over. I mean, this happened like 2 weeks ago, but this was blowing around the whole country. This blew over us, over New England, up to Nova Scotia and Canada. People made a comment that it's like, if you remember 1986 in Ukraine, in Chernobyl, where their nuclear power plant had a meltdown and exploded because of the staff not handling it appropriately. The village of Pripyat, which is where they housed all the workers, it was a little community. And everyone that worked at the plant would live in like this little community that they built just for the workers at the plant, so they could just go to work and come home real close to each other. When this plant blew up and spread a radioactive plume of dust all over Europe, they did the same thing. They tried to cover it up. They tried to tell everybody, everything's fine, it's safe, don't worry about it, you can go outside, you can do this, that, and the other. Many people died. Many people developed cancers, got sick, and died. Radiation poisoning, stuff like that. Because nobody's gonna say, oh, yep, it's our fault, we did it, and be held accountable for all those damages, for lawsuits, you know? But my whole point in bringing all this up is that we shouldn't be blaming individual people for this kind of stuff. This is, you're seeing it live. The powers, the principalities of wickedness that are working through people to kill and destroy the children of God, to kill the youth, to sterilize young adults. This is what's happening. Nobody's talking about the plastics plant in Kissimmee, Florida that went up in smoke. 5 acres in total flames in a plastics plant. When you burn plastic, guess what? It creates toxic fumes. This morning at 9 a.m. in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, I think it is, a uranium production facility on fire? Really? Uranium is what they use in nuclear bombs. What's going on here? Do we need another fire instructor class in elementary schools to help people learn? I don't know. But this is the evil that's taking place. Some evil force is literally targeting anything that can harm or kill us potentially, and they're using it. and they're bringing this out. There's 7 other train derailments in the last several months that have also been carrying vinyl chloride. And it's nobody's talking about it. Everyone wants to focus on UFOs and aliens and spy balloons. Look over here, everybody, because we don't want you to see all this other stuff that's going on. We need to be praying for these people, for these victims. These people can't just sell their house and move somewhere else. Who is going to buy their house where it's at in the middle of this stuff? No one. What's going to happen? So they need to be covered in prayer, that they can either be covered from the effects of these things, or that God makes a way to move them somewhere else where it's more safe. But we have to trust God that he's going to keep us safe, because this happened in Ohio this time, but anything could happen where we are. And this is why we need to be working together as a body of Christ. We need to be sharing our wisdom and the abilities that God's given us with other people so that we can protect one another. Because the world out there that the devil's running rampant through is not going to protect anybody. Maybe his own, but he's not going to protect any of us. So this is why we need to come together. And I wanted to bring this out because this is happening. This is real. There is an agenda out there by people that don't want to be seen because the enemy is working through them so efficiently to try to take us out. And God's promised us the victory. His glory will rise and shine upon us like that banner says. So we have to trust in that, believe in that, and encourage one another in that so that we can make it through. Father, I just thank you for bringing all this out. We give you honor and glory. We thank you that you have won the victory and that you have brought us into that victory circle. We thank you, God, that you place it in our hearts to pray for each one of those affected by all these kinds of evil schemes. That we just give you honor and glory, God, for pouring your wisdom out upon us so that we can share it with others and bring them to your footstool. In Jesus' name, amen.